Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albracht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Happy Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. Paul and I feeling festive as we do every Wednesday. The movement has started. We've created something here, and we hope you're participating out there. Send us a picture, if you are, of your beautiful Hawaiian shirts as we celebrate the middle of the week. And, you know, it's sort of the countdown here each week on Sports Daily, where we begin to think about the weekend of football ahead, which we will certainly do on the program today. Jacob Albracht here alongside Paul Savage. Jad Chambers producing back in studio. I'll pretend like Jad is wearing his best Hawaiian today. We're still not getting Jad on board, but we will. Peer pressure will. He'll cave. He'll cave one of these days.
Jacob.
But we'll have it. Yes, Jad.
Let me just say this. The shirt you're wearing today, the Hawaiian shirt you're wearing, is probably the ugliest Hawaiian shirt I have ever seen.
Oh, that is the nicest thing that you've ever had. Jad, you don't even know enough to know that that was a compliment.
Yeah. No,
I
understand.
You don't even understand. You don't understand Hawaiian shirts. That was the sweetest thing a guy could ever say to another guy.
So this one's pretty cool. I haven't pulled this one out in a very long time. My grandpa was a legendary partier. So, of course, he had a wide selection of Hawaiians, and I dug through. So there is no telling when this shirt was created, but it could be anywhere in the last century. There is legitimately no telling.
I dug
deep in the archives to pull this gem out. You can see it if you're watching us on our video feed here, 12 News Plus connected, Facebook, cool. YouTube, X. We appreciate that. Yes, Paul.
Yeah, just one quick thing. The Hawaiian shirt I'm wearing today is very similar to one that you have. I've been taking notes, obviously. Do you know the shirt I'm talking about? The one that you have is it the same shirt? Because I haven't seen it in probably a couple weeks, but you have one like this, don't you?
I don't think I've done a repeat. Maybe. Maybe.
And I put this one on because it was in the rotation, and I thought, oh gosh, that might be the exact same shirt. But listen, there are no two of the same Hawaiian shirts in existence, I don't believe, are there? I don't think there is.
Sure, there are. But listen, it's a celebration of the middle of the week. Like I said, it really is a celebration. This is when we start to sort of look ahead to the weekend. We'll do that today.
Yeah,
we're going to look ahead to the Chiefs game this weekend. They add Kareem Hunt. We'll get our thoughts on that. Shreyas Lada is going to join us to look ahead now to KU as it's desperation time, rock bottom, as Jeff Grimes called it yesterday in his weekly media availability. We'll dig through all of that with Shreyas Lada. That's coming up at the bottom of this hour. So KU fans, we've had a lot of emotional, intense discussions as it pertains to KU football. We'll get Paul's take on that, too. The Royals cannot escape this magic number of 8. They dropped 3 in a row, the first 2 to the Tigers. They've had an opportunity to shrink that number down to 4. It's gone nowhere, and now the Tigers are 3 games back of Kansas City. They're only a game and a half back in the wild card. Seattle is 3 games back in the wild card. So they're in there. Minnesota won last night, which is great because they're playing Cleveland. But at this point, with 10 games to go, I think we should concern ourselves more with the wild card than the prospects of winning the Central. So we'll get into the Royals. They finish the series with the Tigers tonight and face one of the best pitchers in all of baseball in Skubal. And then they do get a little schedule relief. So it's not, you know, it's not time to panic or anything like that. But boy, a wasted opportunity here so far in the series with Detroit as the Royals fall in extra innings last night. So this is an interesting time on the sports calendar. What else do we have today? Oh, NIL. Paul and I always love to get into the inner workings of college athletics. Tennessee's adding an NIL surcharge basically to tickets. I think it's a great idea. We'll get into that.
Well,
a
we knew
bit
that was coming eventually,
well.
Didn't we? I think we knew it was coming.
There's a lot of reasons I like it. Yeah, there's a lot of reasons I like it, but we'll get into it. The IHOP hotline is open for you to chime in on anything we're talking about today at 869-1240. It's always open. It's brought to you by IHOP. We will take your comments on the video stream. We will have an HTO giveaway a little later in the program as well. I want to say thank you to Pray Fry Coffee for always keeping us fueled mornings here at KFH. Yeah. Coffee. Paul's got his. And here we go. Paul, let's start with the Royals because we'll talk KU football a little bit here in just a few minutes. But I don't know how much of the game you watched last night. I think it was on social media that it was a stressful game. It was a very stressful game for the Royals last night. And it was. And you know, you get into extra innings and then you get the runner on second, and there was a balk by Ursig that led to the go-ahead run. All of those things are happening. That game was stressful throughout. The Royals blew way too many opportunities to take the lead there. Cole Reagans was fantastic. And Detroit's got that swag right now. They got that swag, and they're hanging in there, and they're fighting, and you don't want to be on the wrong end of that. I think we're all confident the Royals will still get this done. 10 to go. The magic number's 8. They do get, when I say schedule relief, they get the Giants and the Nationals for 6 straight. And then they'll finish in Atlanta, which we know will be tough. But it's an opportunity, Paul. But we're not out of the woods yet. And stressful may be the right word, not just for that game last night, but for everything we'll see the rest of the way until they eliminate that magic number of 8, because they're not there yet. And 10 games, the magic number's 8. Like, that margin of error is shrinking. Each and every day, they don't win a game.
Mm-hmm. This is going to come down to the last 3 games for both the Twins. That's assuming that the Tigers, you know, stay that couple games back. That might be an assumption I'm wrong about. But this is going to come down to the Twins and the Royals on the final 3 games. Now, the Royals, as you said, they have Atlanta. Now, no offense to our buddy Tommy Castor. I don't want to offend him by, you know, saying that the Atlanta Braves aren't as good a team as the Orioles, but the Twins have to finish up the last 3 games with the Baltimore Orioles. That's a really good baseball team. So I don't know which is the worst medicine, but I'd rather be the Royals than the Twins finishing up with the Orioles. Now, with that being said, you know, you can't count on that. I mean, if we come down to the last 3 games, it's going to be tough. And by the way, I did watch some of that game. We had a 2.5-hour football practice. I got home, started watching a little bit of that game. I think I lasted about 2/3 of an inning, and then I woke up 4 innings later. So there you go.
So here's what the Tigers have. They go to Baltimore, then they get Tampa for 3, and then they finish with the White Sox. Mm-hmm. You got to get them while the getting's good. Like, if you don't, you know, if you don't get this one, they've got it. And so then you watch the Twins, as you mentioned, and the Twins' remaining schedule they actually have 2 more against Cleveland. So they'll play Thursday, when a lot of teams are off. Then they go to Boston, then it's Miami, and then that Baltimore series you mentioned, and the Royals get the Giants and the Nationals. So it's in the Royals' hands, Paul, and it would be great if Alex Marsh could match up with Skubal tonight and they get the win. But it's Skubal, and the Tigers are hot. So even if you don't shrink it down to 6, which is what would happen, it goes by 2 games if you beat Detroit, you're looking at the games against San Francisco and then on the road against Washington with an opportunity to do that. And keep in mind, too, any game Detroit loses also shrinks the number. You know, so unless they ride it out unbeaten, any loss also shrinks the number. That's why you like the Royals' chances here, right? And, you know, they would have to fall hard to not get there. Really, really hard. And they're not playing poorly either. That's the other thing. They're not playing poorly right now. They're just not winning these games. They've all been very close games. I believe how many of these have been one-run games of the last three losses? So they lost. Well, last night wasn't technically a one-run game, but it felt that way, right? Extra innings. Mm-hmm. The loss to Pittsburgh was a one-run game. The series opener to Detroit was a one-run game. So all three of the last games have been that close. Maybe they'll get some good fortune and it'll swing the other way tonight, but they're not out of the woods here. And, you know, the rest of the way you'd like to get to a point where you could maybe set up your rotation, like all those, but you can't think about that now. So you're going to get, you know, of these remaining games, the Royals will get, they will get two starts from Lugo, two more starts from Reagans. They will get two more, I believe, starts from Waka, although it might be three from Waka. No, it's two. So it's pretty much two from everyone the rest of the way. And you feel good about that too, right? Like when we think about the Royals' strengths of rotation. So if you get all these games with your pitchers left, it's not like they're going to run out of starts. That's a lot of opportunities. Again, Tigers losses, maybe even Twins losses, if it comes down to that, are going to help the Royals too. They get when you're ahead on these magic numbers, you get the benefit of both things happening at the same time.
Right. You know, and an interesting thing with regards to the final few games. I mean, you know, I always am amazed that sometimes analysis involves, well, earlier season, you know, it's early in the season, that kind of thing. You know, it seems like every game that's played in May comes back and haunts the Royals or makes the Royals better for whatever's going on. And may I always find that to be interesting. The other thing that I find interesting is also Bobby Witt. And I'm sitting here trying to figure out, can he become MVP? Can he be the MVP? I'm not sure that he can, because let's face it, Bobby Witt.
No, he's not going to win the MVP now. No.
Well,
no. Aaron Judge is going to win the MVP.
Well, that's kind of what I'm thinking as well. But there's still talk. I mean, you still see that, you still hear that. Is there potential? I don't think he's going to win it either. But I find it
fascinating. I mean, he won't.
Well, he won't. Okay. Well, he won't. But I still find it interesting that he's in the conversation.
Yeah, it's like, if he won it, Paul, at this point, this late in the season, like he's 10-1 now. He's not, he cooled way too much toward the end of the year. And cooling is relative, right? He stopped being a 350 hitter, basically. Mm-hmm. So it's fine. They do need him, though, to heat up. I mean, they need Bobby Witt Jr. to, you know, it's probably foolish to ask him to do like what he was doing right after the All-Star break, but they need, if the Royals do anything in the postseason, it's going to be on the shoulders of Bobby Witt Jr. It just is. I mean, that's the only way a run for them happens. And Salvador Perez. I mean, they need both of those guys to be peaking at the right time. And then everything else can stay the same, right? They'll get their good starting pitching. I think if everything else stayed the same and those two heat up a little bit, that's the path for the Royals to get back to a World Series.
Right.
But, that game tonight, you'll hear it right here on KFH. It's a 6:30 pregame. It's a 6:40 start, just like the other two kind of wacky games have been. So you'll get in and out of the game moderately early. We're going to come back. We'll talk about this Kareem Hunt signing, sort of the other headline of the day, and then we'll get Shreyas Lada later in the hour to get into some KU football. I'm curious to get Paul's takes on the state of KU, maybe after we talk to Shreyas and get the latest there from Lawrence. But that's all coming up. It's Albrock. It's Savage. It's a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. Thanks, everybody, for celebrating with us. All that baseball coverage you just heard on KFH, it's presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use our savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. More Sports Daily coming for you right after this. Angels baseball available for free here on KFH and on the Odyssey app. Tune in to 97.5 and 1240 KFH tonight, 6:30 Royals Tigers. You can simply download the Odyssey app and search for KFH at game time. You can also listen to this show at any time on the Odyssey app. Past versions, if you missed any of our great interviews, commentary, you can go into the Odyssey app and listen. Another feature on that Odyssey app is you can leave us basically voice messages. There's a little microphone if you're watching or listening to the show. You can leave us a voice message. It'll send through. Jad can get it. So if you don't have time to hang on the IHOP hotline or you just want to get a quick thought in, that's a good way to do that. So do it. All right. Let's set up a giveaway here. HTO. It's a text to win contest. All you got to do is text the keyword T, and the code you want to text it to is 20357. So you text that word T to that number, 20357, and you can win one free iced tea, more than 20 flavors of sweet and unsweet iced tea, and a free iced or hot coffee drink, all kinds of coffee creations, including the all-new fall offerings, the Dirty Chai Apple Crisp, or the Mocha Butter Pecan. So check those out. Good luck, everybody. Message and data rates apply. You can enter once per day. That's T-T-E-A to the short code 20357. All right, Paul, the news yesterday that we expected it. We knew it was a possibility, but the Chiefs do go ahead and add Kareem Hunt to the practice squad. Look, there's baggage there. I don't think that should surprise anybody. The Chiefs don't care particularly about baggage historically. When you look at what Rashee Rice went through and Kareem Hunt the first time and Frank Clark with some of his issues. And there's been a lot of things with the Chiefs that they've been willing to sort of give guys second chances. They would call it, look the other way. Critics would call it whatever you want to call it. They bring Kareem Hunt back. He, of course, had a very embarrassing exit and a very shameful exit from the Chiefs the first time around. He's been around since then for another 5-6 years in Cleveland. So it makes sense to some degree, but he's washed. Boy, he hasn't been good in a while. He's not the same player. He's 29 years old. Running backs, you know, that's kind of the end, except for the very greatest running backs. That's sort of the end. So I think if Kareem Hunt sees the field, it's because things are not going well. I don't think it'll be a good thing if he does. I think that means it's not working with what they have, and then it would become sort of a point of desperation. I don't think Kareem Hunt helps this team a whole lot other than he just kind of knows what's happening.
Well, he's got to be the best thing available is what I'm thinking, or they wouldn't sign him. You're right. It's been 6 years, a full 6 years since Kareem Hunt was released and what was basically the middle of that season six years ago. So, but Jacob, the only thing that I can think of is that he's the best thing that's available right now in their view. And
yeah.
And so I don't know. We can't criticize the Chiefs for making this move. In fact, you've got to think to yourself, well, if this is what you got to do, you got to do. You knew bringing back Kareem Hunt would make people raise their eyebrows, but if it's the best thing or it's the most logical thing with that which is available, Jacob, that's the way it goes. I mean, you know, Pacheco, when he broke his fibia, and by the way, they say, you know, 6 to 8 weeks. You know, the fibia is the biggest bone in your leg. And, you know, when you break that, and I've been around kids that have had problems with their fibia, it takes a little bit of time. I think 6 weeks is very, very optimistic. Now, I'm not a doctor, but that's just the experience that I've seen with this injury before, which is not often, but fibia is a big deal, and I just don't see him back in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I don't see him back.
He'll try.
He'll try. Okay, he'll try.
Jerick McKinnon made more sense to me if you're going to go the route of bringing somebody back. I also think they should spend some time with Miami and think about Denarik Prince, who's on the Dolphins practice squad now. We've liked Denarik Prince. I'll put it to you this way. I'd much rather have Denarik Prince than Kareem Hunt at this point. But Kareem Hunt's familiar with things. I get it. I'm sure he's still a good pass blocker, which would matter. But again, that's not the – like. I think if you're a Chiefs fan today, you hope you never see Kareem Hunt, right? Like, you hope you don't see him, because the best case scenario is that Carson Steele and Samaje Perine are enough, right? They're enough to get this done. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire, maybe he'll be back when he's eligible. I would say that's certainly still a better option than Kareem Hunt at this point of his career. But the Chiefs had to do something, And so they go get some depth on the practice squad. It makes sense. I think it makes sense. I'm not criticizing the move. I just don't think he's a factor. And I think if he is a factor, it's a problem because things are not going well.
Right.
I don't want people to think, oh, all right, now they got Kareem Hunt back, plug and play, baby. He's not been good for a very long time.
Yeah.
So he's out there and on the field. That's because something else is going wrong, something else is going poorly. Carson Steele is a much better option than Kareem Hunt right now. Samaje Perine is still a better option than Kareem Hunt. I do think what's interesting, though, about all of it, Paul, is how do the Chiefs alter what they want to do? Do they alter what they want to do? They've shown us through two games they want to run the ball. Now, I don't know how much of that is a product of the Hollywood Brown injury. I thought that the Chiefs were going to come out this year and throw it a whole lot more. That was assuming Hollywood Brown was a part of it. So, but what I don't know is, was that ever right? Were they still going to maintain and try and play the same style they did last year? I don't remember a time Andy Reid has committed to the run the way he did through, at least in that Bengals game. Like, they want to run. They ran the ball more than they threw the ball. Mm-hmm. And that's if you take away Mahomes' runs, they still did. So can they still do that? I think becomes a really fascinating storyline this weekend. The other thing, by the way, Atlanta has a really good run defense. So how do you begin to game plan now? No Isaiah Pacheco. Do you just plug Carson Steele in and say, here's 20 carries? I mean, I wouldn't have a problem if they did decide to go that route. Or do you try to find a way to open it up a little bit? You got a left tackle problem if you do that right now, Paul.
Right. Well, the thing is, what wins football games? And that's what this coaching staff is asking themselves, and obviously all these guys.
I mean, the Chiefs have won three Super Bowls three very different ways.
Three different ways. But overall, when you think about how do you dominate, how do you become a very good football team, you got to be able to run the football. And it sounds like to me that the Chiefs are making a commitment to running the football. If you can – listen, if a linebacker has to sit there and go read, you know, through the guard to the running back or however their read package is put in for a professional football team, I don't know. But I know this. You've got to stop the run. And the rules of defense are stop the run first, make them pass. That's what you want to do. So, you know, you look at great, great quarterbacks, and the great quarterbacks always had a pretty good running game. I mean, all the way back to Bart Starr and Jim Taylor. And I mean, you could just go through history. All great quarterbacks had a pretty good running back. They had a good running game. And listen, Andy Reid's no dummy. He knows exactly what can make Patrick Mahomes even better, and that's the ability to run the football. That's what the Chiefs are trying to do. That's what this is all about. That's why they're going through these kind of things. This particular team. And that is, they're trying to keep Mahomes safe. They're trying to keep him healthy. They're trying to give themselves a chance to win football games. And I think it's smart. I like the emphasis on the run game. It will not distract from Patrick Mahomes and how great he is.
But the question is, Paul, without Isaiah Pacheco, do you think they just try to stick with that?
Right.
With Carson Steele?
Yes.
I don't know the answer to that.
Until you can't, you do. Once you can't, start making adjustments. But
I agree.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. I do think they need to right now, especially until they get things sorted at left tackle, especially.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
The way we've seen that position struggle, do you really want Mahomes having to throw it 40 times? That's a lot of risks for him to take a hit.
You bet.
Right now.
You bet.
And so, and I think the defense has allowed them to do that. The defense has been better than I thought it would be, even with its flaws, and it has some. It's certainly more than it had a year ago. It's still better, probably better than I thought it would be. And that also helps. They got another tough test this week, and we'll get more into that in the second hour. We'll set things up here. Shreyas Lotta is going to join us when we return. Talk a little KU football. We heard from Jeff Grimes yesterday. We've heard from Lance Leipold. I assume we'll hear from Jalen Daniels this week, although I'm not totally sure that will happen. We'll ask Shreyas about that. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Get out to Crestview. Check out the facilities. A lot of golf. Maybe this rain softened things up for you if you want to get out there. Two 18-hole courses, a great restaurant and bar, all the tennis. When the weather's right, the pool's open. It's a great facility. All kinds of new stuff out there. We appreciate their support of the program, and we would ask you to give them a call and tell them we sent you here on Sports Daily. We're coming right back. More with Shreyas Lada, KU Talk, when we return.
It's that time, Sports Daily, getting all the inside information on the Kansas Jayhawks. Let's go now to the KU football and basketball beat writer from the Kansas City Star, Shreyas Lada.
All right, and welcome in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. You're here with Jake Balbrockton, Paul Savage, and joining us now from the KC Star, reporting on KU football each and every week, Shreyas Lada. We appreciate it, our KU insider, Shreyas. It is stressful right now for KU football fans. Certainly, there has been a lot of discussion, a lot of passionate discussion as this team is now 1-2. Big 12 gives a clean slate, though, especially in a 12-team playoff, more than it ever has before. The problem is what we're seeing with our eyes leaves us little imagination to see this team where we originally thought. What is the feel up there right now this week? Is it as tense inside the program, do you think, as it is outside the program? Should it be? Because I think it probably should be at this point.
I don't think it is, but I also think KU fans have gone mad a little bit just from everything I've seen over the past weekend, the couple of days. I think there's a lot of, fire. Jeff Grimes, bench Jalen Daniels, do this, do that. You know, things that don't really have, might not even be solutions to some of the issues that KU has at the moment. Lance has talked about it a few times. You know, like this is, like you said, it's clean slate. It's an opportunity to kind of get back on the right track against a West Virginia team that has lost a couple of winnable games, like against Pittsburgh, their rival. Kansas, theoretically, record-wise, is better than West Virginia. The thing is, playing in Morgantown is tough, and the version of Jalen Daniels that we are seeing right now is not good enough for them to win a Big 12 title. But I think ultimately, I think there is a lot of discussion going on here. And, Jeff Grimes talked about it yesterday, where they're thinking about switching positions for where he's on the field. He might go to the box and Zebrowski might come to the field. That's what they did last year with Andy. That's what they've done. I think Lance has never had a coach call plays from the sideline. And what was essentially happening was Zebrowski would call play, relay it to, or not, sorry, grabs a call play, relay it to Zebrowski. Zebrowski would relay it to Jalen via the helmet communication system this year. So I think they're trying to kind of just find any solutions. I mean, Jim has a really good relationship with Jalen, and he's had it for years now. So there might be some more comfortableness there and make him a little more at ease, especially as they try to figure out what's going on with him and his interceptions and all that. So, I definitely think there is a level of concern, but the level of concern is not as high as what KU fans have.
I think it should be. You have a great article where you went and talked to people that know Jalen Daniels, some former coaches that, in summation, I would invite people to go to KC Star to read it because it's really good. He mechanically looks okay, and they're confident. I think mechanically he looks okay too, but he's not right. And I don't know what that's the hard thing for me. Like, his decision-making has been worse than it ever has been in his career. Let's be honest about it. He has just played the worst two games he's ever played in his career, and he's missing every throw. He's missing throws at every level, I should say. He's missing short, intermediate, deep. Like, he is way off, but he looks healthy. So what can you do then? Because and here's the quagmire, and this is where Tommy and I disagreed greatly earlier in the season. To me, everything should be on the table for KU football right now. They can still win the Big 12. They could still win the Big 12 with one loss if they don't fix it this week. And because of that, and because the fan base, like the university, the program, like, owes the fan base this year, right? They've been building to this. And so if it's not Jalen Daniels and he's healthy but playing this poorly, I think anything should be on the table. Doesn't have to be long-term, but if he needs to take a series or two off, if they need to go to some of the other guys to see if it can be better, don't they owe it to everybody else on that roster and this fan base to make that change if they had to? And it's not time yet, but it's close.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about today, and I think, you know, somebody asked me about it on Twitter, and I kind of went back, well, the minute you bench Jalen Daniels right now is basically conceding the idea of a Big 12 championship is gone. Let's call it what it is. Cole Ballard is not leading this team to win a Big 12 championship. Jason Bean, a quarterback who was better than Cole Ballard, didn't do that last year. It's not going to happen with Cole. He's just not ready. He's not. He doesn't have the level of talent that Jalen has, the ceiling that Jalen has. And I know he looked good against Kansas State and Iowa State, but if you go back and watch the tape, he was playing pretty conservative because that's a guy who was a third-string walk-on thrown into a tough moment. But he can't make some of the throws Jalen has. He doesn't have the legs that Jalen has. The minute you put in Jalen Daniels, like you bench him, Saturday if he goes out there and you throw three picks, okay, then I'm at that point where, okay, maybe it's time to bench Jalen. Maybe it's time to give him a couple series off. But I don't think we're there yet. Like, I agree with you in that sense. The minute if you had benched him in these two games, then you're just saying everything that Jalen Daniels has done for this program, helping it turn around, is gone out the window because of two games. What does that say for Kansas football? I understand Kansas fans are upset. I understand the reason why people want things to change. But call it what it is, whether people want to admit it or not, if you go back and if you try to tell me that Jason Bean had a better season last year than what Jalen Daniels had in 8.5 games in 2022, you're just flat out wrong. The stats don't say that. The level of competition they played in 22 was better too. And, you know, Jason Bean was never in Heisman contention, whatever it was, through local media or even some national media or a mix of both. But the expectations around Jalen Daniels have always been higher than any quarterback Kansas has had since Todd Reese. Okay? And the minute you tell him, hey, I don't think you're good enough to win us to a victory against West Virginia of all teams, I think it messes with his confidence. It throws out everything that KU's been building towards. And I think they're not at the point yet where they should bench Jalen. I think you got to give him this game. And if he throws three picks, then you got to have that conversation and you got to figure out what's up. But in my opinion, if everyone is telling me, every one of his old coaches, whether it's his personal quarterback coach, whether it's Brett Dierman in recruiting Kansas, or it was a high school coach, hey, mechanically he's okay. And, you know, his personal quarterback coach was very on the record about this, of how he thinks this game against West Virginia is going to be the best game of the season. He says, I see things. I've been seeing it more than I've seen it with any other game in the UNOVA game. He said there was a couple of mistakes he made. And I agree. You know, I looked at the game, and I think the game plan was pretty good until the last 31 seconds of that, you know, first half, right? He throws that pick, and they go awry. And this is something Lance said, that the minute Kansas has made a mistake on the offensive end, it seems like they unravel. They have got to get better about that. They can't have stretches where Jalen goes 0-9 passing, throws two picks. Like, that is detrimental to their long-term aspirations and the short-term aspirations. It is one of the most confusing things, because I've gone back and watched the ULV game. I've gone back and watched the Illinois game, and I'm just trying to figure out what is wrong. And, it's sometimes he's overthrowing. Sometimes he's not reading the coverage right. Sometimes he's underthrowing. Even the balls that his receivers are catching, they don't seem like they're caught in stride. They seem like they're having to jump up to get them. They have to make a move to do something. I don't know what is up. I don't know if this is a Russ thing, or if this is he hasn't played real football besides three games last year since really 2022. It might be that. Or it is Jeff Grimes is not putting him in a position to succeed. It might be a mix of all three of those things. You put out the wide receiver screens that are out there, you could probably throw some of those away, you know?
It's a mix. It is a mix. What I can't figure out, and look, there's a lot, because Jalen Daniels is the best chance for this team, but that doesn't mean he's impervious to being benched if he's playing like this. You brought up Jason Bean. I don't believe that Jason Bean, in his career, at least not last year, ever played a game as poorly as the two games Jalen Daniels has played against real competition this year. I believe that's right. At least by quarterback rating, which I know is not the total end-all be-all. But these are some of the worst games at quarterback we've seen for KU football since the turnaround began. I appreciate what Jalen Daniels has done as much as anybody else, but I also appreciate what's on the line for KU this year, who's building a new stadium and trying to build momentum. And we're going into week four. And here's where it really took hold for me. That last possession, everybody in that stadium, everybody watching on television, there wasn't a person on the planet that thought KU had any chance to drive down the field and score. And that's a problem. And so if here's a good example of what sometimes you have to do to shake things up. Will Howard came off of a season where he won a Big 12 championship. The next year, he had to get sat down for a while. Now, ultimately, he won it back and everything was okay. And now he's starting at Ohio State. But even that little shakeup was good for him. We see this in college football all the time. Tua took Jalen Hurts' job. Patrick Mahomes took Baker Mayfield's job. Like, if Jalen's struggling, there's too much on the line to just keep running it out there. Doesn't mean he has to lose the starter's job. Just means you have to make a change to try and win a football game if it's going that poorly. I hope that that doesn't come into it and that everything clicks and it's good. So then I would ask you the Jeff Grimes part of this equation, which is also what has KU fans riled up. And to me, I agree. It's the more urgent situation for sure. There's no doubt about it. It's not all on him. Jalen Daniels made the checks at the lines, according to Lance Leipold, in the Illinois game. Those were Jalen decisions, but it ain't creative enough. So how quickly can that be fixed? Or what is the next step for Lance Leipold?
Well, the idea that Jeff Grimes is going to get fired, I'd like KU fans to sit down because this is not good news. If they want to hear this, it's not going to happen. Lance Leipold doesn't fire coaches. Go back and look at his tenure. He has not let go of any coaches I can remember on his staff in a long, long, long time. Remember 2 years ago when Brian Borland was probably on the hot seat going into the season, and you know everyone was like, Brian is the reason the KU team is being held back, and then KU's defense took a major step forward. You've got to give this time. I think Jeff has not been good as Andy Kotelnicki, but who expects him to be as good as a guy that was good enough to get recruited by Penn State and a guy that, you know, is probably going to play, be a head coach in college football sooner rather than later. You know, he's very, very good at what he does. We know what Jeff Grimes is. He's had some success. He's had some lack of success. Kansas, you know, you have to trust in Lance Leipold picking him because he obviously saw something in him, you know, to pick him. I think he has not been great. I think they haven't found a real balance between run and pass. He has not had the, you know, kind of start that I think Kansas fans hope to have. That's exasperated by the fact that Jalen Daniels has looked like this version of Jalen Daniels, which I have never seen on the 2 years that I've been on the beat. I've been here since November 2022. The first game I saw on the Kansas beat was Jalen Daniels throwing for 500 yards in the Liberty Bowl. That was the game where I was like, man, this guy could be a real quarterback playing on Sundays. And, you know, it's so interesting to me that they are considering switching physical spots in the game. The fact that he could go to the booth and Zebrowski could be the one on the field, that tells me that we've gotten to a point where, okay, this is as big of a deal that it could be in Kansas football without firing Jeff Grimes. You know, and I think it's – there are certain aspects of the offense that I just don't really understand. Why are the tight ends? I know Mason Fairchild is God. He's phenomenal. But Jared Casey and Trevor Cardell can catch the ball. Where's the intermediate passing? It's not happening a ton. These two things were the bread and butter of Kansas' offense, and they have not been doing that. Why is there so much an insistent on wide receiver screens on like second and seven? You know, it's so predictable. Like what, like, you know, I'm not trying to put here and play Monday morning quarterback or Sunday morning quarterback in this case, but there's just certain things that if Kansas football to me, what they're running is predictable, a guy who just covers the team, who is not out there on the field, who play, you know, is a coach, then I can just imagine how much it is for, you know, the people on, you know, the field and who have the coaching experience and they can pick up on what's happening, you know, and like, the fact that, you know, Daniel Hyshaw last game wasn't available was definitely a bummer for KU because they needed a guy to kind of spell Devin Neal that was better than Savion Morrison. I don't even know what to make of the Jeff Grimes situation because I don't know how much of it is his fault and how much of it is Jalen Daniels' fault. And how much of it, you know, should we put the blame on each, right? Because at the end of the day, Jeff Graham said it best. They had five drives where four out of the five led to scoring plays, I think, in the Illinois and UNLV game. And they had five drives that led to interceptions. So if Jalen tomorrow had, or, you know, you've cut those five interceptions to three, or maybe even two, would we be making a big deal of this as we are now? I don't think so, because Kansas would probably be 2-1, maybe even 3-0, right? You know, that the defense has taken a massive step forward. I think the biggest thing is, can Jalen get out of whatever funk he's in? And, you know, Jeff needs to put these guys in a better position to succeed, play to their talent level. He's admitted to that. And, you know, this game against West Virginia that has a really bad pass defense, this is the game to get right. This is the game for Kansas to get back on track. Because if they lose this game, I don't even want to think about what's going to happen, to be honest with you. It's going to be a mess. And everything that I thought of Kansas football, we can just throw out the window.
Well, you know, one of the things we got to talk about a little bit is about defense. And by the way, you give up 23 points, you know, you have to score 24 to win a football game. And we always expect the offense to cover, you know, if no matter how many points, you're going to score one more point if you're the offense. But this is not the case. It was 23 points scored by UNLV. But Sharice, there is no drive that frustrated me more than the last drive or the last scoring drive that UNLV had. It was a 75-yard drive, 18 plays, and it took over 9 minutes to do that drive. That was frustrating. I was very frustrated. What's with the defense? Anything about the defense? I don't mean to criticize them, but my lads, UNLV, 75 yards, 18 plays, almost 10 minutes in drive time. Are you kidding me?
Listen, they did the exact same thing against Illinois. It was worse against UNLV because they had two times where they could have ended the drive. Remember that fumble where it was a comedy of errors and guys kind of did not jump on it, and it eventually led to UNLV getting the ball? That was right. I wrote about it, but it was the perfect encapsulation of everything that has happened in Kansas football season this far. Like, that play was like, yeah. Oh my God, they were so close, but they still didn't get it.
Right.
And remember that PI where there was completely unnecessary defensive PI that extended a drive that had really ended on third and like eight, you know, the pass had missed, but out of nowhere, I think it was Devin Dye just kicked the receiver in the end zone, which was ridiculous to me. Like, the play, it wasn't even near the ball, you know, and those two things led to it. But I want to go back to, we're talking about the defense giving up 23 points. In reality, 10 of those points were directly caused by Jalen Daniels' picks. Yeah. Okay. That pick that he had before half, that was a bad pick. And yes, the defense faltered there, but they, like, you know, Kobe tried to make an interception. He read it wrong. But that was the real only, besides the PI and besides the fumble, that was the only real, I think, issue the defense had. I mean, yes, they didn't do a great job of stopping the UNLV quarterback, but still. And I think if you give the...
We may have just had a connection issue with Shreyas there, which is okay, because we're right up against the break. So we will take that. Look, I'm with Shreyas again. Let's finish that thought because I think it's a good one.
Yeah.
So Shreyas, go finish there. You're wrapping up on the defense because I think it's important.
Yeah. If you give the defense a chance to get off the field, which the offense has not done, we wouldn't be having these talks about why
that's right. Yeah.
I'm with you. Here's what I would say about the defense. It's significantly better than we thought it would be. And now we thought it had a chance to be really good, but it's good. And so if it's good, then you're starting Big 12 play right now. That's for me where I think this urgency, if we were in the middle of the season, I don't think the urgency is there, but we're watching a defense that's good enough to contend for a Big 12 title. We know that Devin Neal and Daniel Hyshaw are there. So it's still on the table, as crazy as that seems. And look, there is a karma pendulum swing in college football. There have been a lot of cases over the last 2 years where Kansas has been very, very fortunate to get some of the wins that they've gotten. They have been very unlucky in the two games that they've played, and they've lost the last 2 weeks. So my whole thing is, it's still on the table for them, but not if they can't be better offensively. Shreyas, I know West Virginia has a bad pass defense. I hope Jalen Daniels doesn't throw the ball more than 20 times in this game. Run the ball with your backs. Run the ball with Jalen Daniels. Strength versus strength. Go beat them that way, because if they're going to do anything, it's going to be because they can run the ball and they can play good defense. That's what I think. So that's how I hope this game plays out.
No, I think that's good. I think the important thing that I'm going to be paying attention for is, can we limit the Jalen Daniels turnovers to none or one?
To zero, right?
That's all we need. If I can see that from Jalen, where he throws for like 200 yards and has a passing touchdown or two or whatever, I don't care. You just need him to do the bare minimum and not give the ball away to the defense, and put the defense, KU's defense, in a really tough position. The only qualm I have about KU's defense, and they've talked about this, is they are not creating turnovers to the level they were last year. Last year, they were turnover havoc creators.
Yeah.
That happened this year. And some of it's just not taking advantage of opportunities. That forced fumble right there should have been in KU's hands. But still, I think, like you said, if the offense can give them some breathing room, if they can give them some time to get off the field and not have to go out there and have these long sustaining drives, it would be incredible long run for their aspirations.
It's on the table. Shreyas is on social media at SHRE98. You can find his work at the KC Star. It is a fascinating week for this football program, Shreyas. We appreciate all the reporting. We'll continue to follow it up into West Virginia, and hopefully we're having a very different conversation a week from now.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
There goes Shreyas Latta. Good stuff. We are over. We're past where we need to be. Jad will get us caught up. We're going to come back with hour number two here of Sports Daily. Open phone lines on the IHOP hotline, 869-1240. So give us a call, KU fans. You can chime in. You can also leave us your video comments. We'll come back. We'll digest that. I want to get Paul's take on these things and the discussion we've been having all week. And we'll hit, some look aheads for K-State for the Chiefs on this Tennessee NIL stuff. But I want to get Paul's take a little bit more on KU when we return. Sports Daily, don't go away.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. It is hour number two, and we are glad to be with you today on the program. If you missed anything with Shreyas Latta there, you can go back and listen for free on the Odyssey app. It is Jacob Albrecht and Paul Savage. It is a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. It is a festive day, as it is each and every Wednesday, as we celebrate the begin to the ramp up of another, big football weekend. College weekend, Big 12 play is underway this week. You've got the NFL. You got another great game for the Chiefs. We'll see if the NFL can bounce back from the chaotic, injury-ridden, bad quarterback play start through the first 2 weeks of the season. Saw ratings were essentially record-setting again, which shouldn't surprise anybody. And even more urgency then to get the quarterbacks back on the right track. A lot of interesting stuff there, Paul, from Shreyas Latta. What has been your biggest takeaway on this disappointing start to the KU football season?
Well, it's obviously starts with the quarterback situation, and it's that's kind of what it is, I think, for most people. I think the defense has been okay. It's been fine. You're giving up enough.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head to head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Enough points that you should still win a game with a really good offense. But expectations is always something, isn't it? Expectations are what it's almost about more than wins and losses. But when you're 1-2, and let's face it, you're really 0-2 because the first game didn't count against Lindenwood, but you're 0-2, everybody thought KU would win those first two games. Expectations are horrible if you're a football coach and you're not meeting them. And that's where this team is at, expectations. Let's see what happens. I'm just wondering, Jacob, why you guys think that things are going to change this week. I don't know. I mean, granted, there are some deficiencies on the defense with West Virginia. I get that. But I don't know why you think things will change. We haven't seen that happen yet. And
it's not so much that I think things will change. They must change, certainly. We're a couple of plays, honestly, away from a 3-0 football team that we would have some concerns about, not to the level that we do now. But I think if you told me this team could get the version of Jalen Daniels we've seen over so many years now, and, you know, outside of the injuries, then I would tell you this is still very much a team that could compete for a Big 12 championship. That's the quagmire. And whether that's his fault or Coach Grimes' fault, I don't have the direct answer to that. I think it's a combination of both. But if they can fix whatever is the issue with those two, then yeah, then things are still going to be just fine. Yeah. Because and look, we talk about how often the 12-team playoff allows this, right? It allows a good team to stumble early and finish strong. Mm-hmm. I can almost see no scenario in which the Big 12 championship game winner does not reach the college football playoff. I mean, it's possible, but I don't think there's no way that they will do that. So right now, if you're KU, you've got the Big 12 schedule essentially to lose two or fewer games. Historically, two or fewer losses has been good enough to get into the game. One or fewer, you'll be in. So and remember that we like their Big 12 schedule. Like, we like some of the things that we've seen. It is because the defense, I think, Paul, the defense is better even than I thought it could be. Now, they've had a couple of moments, but if you take away 2-3 plays, this has been a really, really good defense. Can they get there? I don't know the answer to that, but I'm glad they're opening with West Virginia. Don't love that it's on the road. But if you're struggling, that's about as good as you could hope for, I would think, to open up. I mean, you know, that's the reality. But if they can't go to West Virginia and beat West Virginia, then they're not going to be good enough to get this done this year.
No, you're right. That's the place to go. In my opinion, that would be the place I would want to go.
And honestly, Paul, as much as you don't like the road, especially that, for as tense and, in, you know, heated as it is for the – good to get on the road,
yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Like, it might – good to get out of Dodge for a week.
Well, I think you're exactly right. Kind of a change. And you know something I want? If I had to add one more question for Sharias, you know what I would ask him? And maybe we'll ask him this next week. How much has the upheaval of a new stadium and changing things around and not playing where you normally play, I wonder if that's been anything.
Not. I don't think it's been a part of the issues we've seen. You know, like the issues we've seen, one, it's been on the road at Illinois and, at home against UNLV. Mm-hmm. I've had this fear of an empty Arrowhead Stadium when they play. And that's when I'd say there's so much on the line. That's what's on the line. Like KU has taken. It has taken a lifetime for them to get back to relevancy. This is that year. They get to play games at Arrowhead. They're getting their new stadium. They're getting all of this stuff for it to fall flat. And as flat as it has that will be tragic for the momentum of this program. That's why I would tell you that I think there is not any decision off the table. I don't care what it is. If you're Lance Leipold, you have to be willing to do anything to turn this around. You have to. Mm-hmm. It's you don't owe anything to any particular player. You don't. Mm-hmm. Jalen Daniels has been an awesome Jayhawk. He is as exciting a player. He is the most exciting player they've had in a generation. But he's not playing well. Mm-hmm. And if you have a chance still, you have to take chances to get there. Now, best chance, I would agree, is that Jalen Daniels gets turned around and they're right back on track. But it's been really bad through two games. Let's go. We got on the Odyssey app, we told you this, you can leave voice messages right there on the Odyssey app. Ken has a message recorded for us on that app. Jad, let's hear what Ken has to say.
Good morning, fellas. Need to mention that Bobby Witt has joined the 30-30 club. And they also said on the Royals broadcast last night that Freddie Fermin leads the league in base stealers caught stealing. So a little positive news there.
I apologize, Jad. I thought that said Ken on the Jayhawks. He comments on the Jayhawks sometimes. Yes, those are good. And Bobby Witt Jr., by the way, in that 30-30 club is a little bit historic, too, in the number of times for a shortstop. But we'll get into the Royals. Appreciate the message there, Ken. Always a great Royals listener. And we'll get more into their game tonight a little later.
Well, can I bring up one thing real quick that you're overlooking? And that is distractions. Distractions are a funny thing, Jacob. Distractions can be a killer of a football team. But those teams that are able to handle distractions, it doesn't seem like it's a big deal. But, Jacob, distractions are a funny thing depending on who you are and, what's going on. And that's the only thing that I'm saying with regards to all the different things that are going on with the structure of the new stadium and where they're playing. And they're going to play in actually three different locations through the course of the season. I'm just saying that it's kind of we don't know. I guess we don't know. But having been on football teams where distractions take a toll, I do know that there's something to be reckoned with. How big it is of a deal it is, I don't know. But we've got to figure out something.
Well, there's distractions now. Yeah. There's distractions that you have half of a fan base calling for a quarterback's job, probably right. Three-quarters of a fan base calling for an offensive coordinator's job. Like, there are distractions
there
now.
There sure are.
And look, Lance Leipold doesn't have a guy who's been his offensive coordinator for a long time, through, I think, three teams. I think he was with him right at the end of Whitewater and then in Buffalo and now, and he's having – man, it's a good – it's hard to overcome.
Well –
They got to overcome it. I don't know what it would feel like if they played the exact brand of football they have played, but get a couple of bounces in their favor and they're 3-0. I don't know what we'd be saying today. I think we'd be concerned. But the reality is, if that was the case, or if we were in the case we are now, the ultimate outcome for KU doesn't change all that much. I suppose we thought them capable of an at-large. They certainly are not that now. They will not be an at-large. But the reality is, coming into Big 12 play, the goal is to win the Big 12 and get into the playoff. That doesn't change. And there are things that have happened. The defense is better than we thought it would be. And it's not even opportunistic yet, which has been its strength for the past few years. Why people love, the players in their secondary. You haven't even really seen the running game hit full speed ahead. They're just making a tragic number of mistakes that has them losing to teams that are not better than them. That's the thing, Paul. Like, if you watch those games, it's very clear KU is more talented and better than Illinois and UNLV, and they lost both those games. Well, so what's going to happen in the Big 12 when you're not talented? Uh-huh. When you're not more talented in the games that you play in the Big 12, then what happens?
Yeah.
And I think that's where people's fear is right now. And like, if we can't beat them when we're clearly better than they are, what's going to happen when we play teams that might be better than we are?
Yeah.
Right? Like, what happens when you play a team? Are they capable of putting together that perfect game plan to, you know, to beat a team that's more talented than they are? Well, not based on what we've seen through 3 weeks, honestly. I'm not going to slam the door on that, like I know some fans might want to, because of everything we have seen. I think they're talented at wide receiver. I think they're talented at running back. I think the offensive line outside of the second half against UNLV has been good. I think the defense is good. It all comes down to two glaring issues: mistakes by the quarterback and mistakes by the offensive coordinator. Are they solvable? I don't know. Paul, with a quarterback, the level, you've been in a lot of locker rooms, you've been around a lot of players, with a star player like Jalen Daniels. He is a star player. When it's not going right like this, and he appears to be healthy, when it's not a physical issue, what can you do as a coach to get that player right?
That is a really good question, because a lot of kids are different. I mean, kids are unique and they are different. There's no question about that. But one of the things that you would do is in practice, you'd try to simulate more game time situations. Everything would be quicker. You would make the point that every repetition in practice counts, that it's a serious deal. You try to make sure there's no distractions in practice. You try to make sure practices are tight and concise and they're on schedule. And you know what plays you're going to run. You know what defenses you're going to run against, whatever plays are going on in practice. And that's what you do. This all boils down to practice. This isn't going to be solved, Jacob, on game day. And I know you know that as well as anybody. These are things that are going to be fixed between Monday and basically Friday being the walkthrough day, where they won't even have pads on. You know, you walk through everything. But let's say this is a situation that will be fixed Monday through Thursday. I think that might be a more accurate way to do, because by the end of the day, Thursday, the hay's in the barn, and you're going to play with what you've put in at practice, and everything's ready to go. But this all comes down to how you practice, the way you practice, how concise is practice. And what you've got to do is figure out.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
A system in practice that allows you to tighten things up, get more reps, show the seriousness of the situation. It's all about practice and how they handle those hours spent in practice. I don't know. Other than that, Jacob, I don't have a magic wand that I can wave and say, let's fix it. Let's fix this. I do not know how you would go about fixing it.
Yeah,
because I guarantee you're not going to fix it once the game starts. You don't fix things once the game starts.
There's only one way to make a change once the game starts, and that's to pull the guy.
Well, and that's not what you're talking about.
What's wild about that position, I don't think it's that crazy to sit him down. Again, it's not the best option, but if you got to try something, you can't just keep trying the same wrong thing over and over and over again. Pull him for a series. Put him back out there. I don't know how Jalen Daniels is wired.
Sometimes
that's a motivating factor too.
It could be.
You know what I mean? I don't know. Yep. And that's up to Lance Leipold to make those difficult decisions, and hopefully they'll be just fine and they'll get the win against West Virginia. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll stick with college football. Don't forget our K-State insider, Tim Fitzgerald, will join us tomorrow on the program. But let's stick with college football, because Tennessee's got an idea here that I think is honestly a pretty good one. I think it's smart. I think it is I think it's something that fans will get on board with as well. We'll talk about it. It has to do with NIL. It's all Brockton Savage. We appreciate you being here with us on this Wednesday edition, this Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday edition of the program. All this football coverage presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. We'll be right back. Thanks for being here, everybody, with us on Sports Daily. Don't forget, you can win some HTO, iced tea, and coffee. Just text the keyword T to 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Jake Ballbrock, Paul Savage here with you on this Wednesday as we make our way through. Paul, we get some NIL news that's pretty interesting. Tennessee has decided, and they sent an email out to fans, that they're going to add a 10% talent fee on season tickets. So I don't think, from what I understand right now, this is only season tickets. This isn't every ticket. Although I think it probably could be, and that still wouldn't bother me. But either way, an extra fee on a ticket to help with NIL. I think, Paul, that I really like this idea. I think it helps allocate funds, particularly to a sport where it is directly generated. What I mean is, if you tied this to the tickets across athletics, right, you'd know how much money you should allocate from one sport to the other. A, I think that would be helpful. And B, I think is if I was a fan and I was in this position, I would much rather know up front in this NIL world that I'm contributing that way rather than being asked constantly to contribute. Just at a personal level, I think most people would agree with that. If schools can raise the money that way rather than having to spend so much time fundraising and fundraising and fundraising and fundraising, I do think in the end that is a better use of time for the people trying to navigate this world. And Danny White, the athletic director there, pointed right to revenue sharing and pending and trying to generate the funds. And I think most people are generally aware of that. But if I'm a fan, I'd much rather be hit with it that way, I think, than fundraising efforts and the things that go into that. You can still do a lot of those things, but you know you're contributing. You know where your dollars are going. Hey, season tickets for football, that money's used directly for football players. For basketball, used directly for basketball. For baseball, for softball, used directly for those sports. I think it makes a lot of sense. And I'll bet you this is not the only school that ends up doing this.
I'm sure it's not going to be, and you're exactly right. I think you're right on target with regards to how you do it. You know, I'm always against price increases of any kind. I guess I'm a
well,
tight
the,
one.
I mean, the market. Yeah, the market's going to have to dictate that.
But
I mean, if they don't sell any tickets, they'll have to bring that price down.
But I think we would be stunned at the University of Tennessee in particular, but a lot of universities like at Ohio State, Clemson, Florida State, all these, Alabama, they'd all be a bit the same. A lot of these tickets are generational, almost generational. Families have had them in their name for a long, long time, and I get it. I think it's almost a no-brainer for a university to have to do this because obviously you're going to get to a point where you got to have this kind of money. I mean, look at the big deal on the hiring of a coach, a basketball coach at Arkansas. That coach who came from Tennessee or came from Kentucky made the demand. I need NIL money. I need a lot of it. They guaranteed Calipari. They guaranteed him basically $15 million in NIL money. That basically figures out a little over $1 million a player he's going to sign. Those kids are going to get $1 million off of NIL. Then I think that's what the guarantee is, if I'm not mistaken.
So, I know people. Rick's upset by this right now. Says it's ridiculous. NIL was meant to let somebody promote or do an ad for a business to use during their game. I know people are mad about it. Let's be real though. The players are not like if they weren't generating that kind of revenue, they wouldn't be commanding that kind of revenue, right? Would you say, Paul, that the players on the field are worth 10% of the total income that comes into a football game?
I think I would. I mean, you know, it takes a tremendous toll on.
Of course,
your body.
You would. You're there to watch the players.
You're not there
to watch the coach. You're not there to watch the anything else. You're there to watch the players on the field.
And
if
the pageantry.
They stink, you're not selling tickets.
There's a camaraderie amongst those who have season tickets. You know, your family knows
this family
who's two rolls down. I mean, it's more than just going to a football game. It's almost societal. It's almost societal.
It's evolved. To Rick's point, this is no longer just the sponsorship piece. We're calling all of this NIL. It's not all NIL, it's revenue sharing, and which is where we're headed. The NIL piece, to call it NIL on the tickets, yeah, I get it. That doesn't make sense. That's not logical. But the reality is it's all one big pool of money, and they're going to have to revenue share. The courts keep telling them to do that. They're going to have to do that, so they're going to have to generate more money. I'm just saying, like, if that's inevitable, and I think it is, as a fan, I'd rather get hit with it that way and know it's there than constantly being like hounded for donations and all those kinds of things to these things. Let's go to the IHOP hotline. Earl, 869-1240 on the line. Earl, what's up? Welcome in.
Hey, good morning. Hey, I just got to help Paul, and I've got to put on my Dr. Earl hat today.
Well, thank
Paul,
you. I need it.
He broke his fibula, which is the smallest bone in the lower leg.
Wait a
second. The fibula is the big bone in the lower leg. The fibula is the little one with an interosseous muscle. And maybe you were thinking it was the femur.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking.
The femur is the one above, which you would be correct. The largest bone in the human body is that big old femur. And so
7-5, 8-12-4.
Up. All of a sudden, I had somebody in. Just wanted to make you understand.
No, thank you.
Earl, is a 6 to 8 week recovery, is that feasible on a broken fibula?
Very much so. A fib heals nicely, and, you know, with a proper healing fibula, you will be okay. I mean, the dude's got calves that look like softballs, so he's got the muscle integrity to keep it all together. But here's the good side of that, though, boys. If we can win enough games, we'll have a fresher Pops Pacheco
he is an injury risk player to begin with. to put him on ice and potentially know you've got him in the postseason. I've thought about that. There are advantages, but you got to win the games to get there.
That's
that's obviously
you
the
do.
Flip side.
And look, you know, and Steele, and Andy Reid actually had the most honest thing I've heard from a head coach this year. They asked him, "Do you got guys that can fill in for Pacheco?" Because you know, Pops ran it 25 times, right? He says, "I have confidence they can, but I've never seen it." At that point, I knew we were going to bring Hunt in because he's seen Hunt do it. And, you know, for everything in this world, people get second chances and enough time is done there. And, you know, he's kind of like, you know, a little Adam Sandler going, "You're smart, I'm dumb, you're good looking, and I'm ugly." You know, he came hat in hand, and he didn't want to just play for anybody, because I'm going to tell you, we're going to get the best version possible of that 29-year-old running back.
Yeah. So,
hopefully we don't see him, Earl. That's baby. A bad, I'm telling you, it's a bad sign.
It's
if that
not
means
a bad
that-
thing. He catches screen passes so well, my man. I'm no, not saying any of these guys
don't misunderstand. Don't misunderstand. It's a bad thing because that means it didn't work with Steele and Perine. Best case scenario is it works with those two and you don't ever have to see Kareem Hunt. That's what I'm saying. He has not been good for a while. He's been pretty bad for a while, you know, just by he's not fast and he doesn't have any explosion anymore. He can probably block, and I do think that's something to keep an eye out on when we look at left tackle. He can block, and if they need that, that might be the biggest reason they bring him up.
When Chubb blew out his knee, he came in there last year and gave Cleveland's offense a boost. He did not like that organization at the end. So you weren't getting the best version.
You know what his average, Earl, you know what his average yards per carry was last year?
It's under three.
You know what it was the year before that?
It's probably under three, but he was a backup to Chubb.
Under four. It was still bad. It wasn't as bad, but it was bad. It was bad. He hasn't been good for a long time. He hasn't rushed for more than 470 yards since 2020.
Yeah.
Okay, so take what I said then. I think the screen game is where he's going to be used, like McKenna. McKinnon was not a bell cow, hand the ball to him multiple time guys. You know, he was a work the passing game kind of guy. And I think that's what they're going to do. They'll use Perine, who is also good in the screen game, and Steele to kind of mount some carries. But look, you know, hey, McCaffrey got hurt for, what, the 49ers in the first game? The old boy came in there and had a day. So we
no,
just
we hadn't
need
even
some
seen
of these.
We hadn't even seen McCaffrey yet. He got hurt in the preseason.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. McCaffrey wasn't there for the first game, and the guy who backed him up came in there and had a, you know, the game of his life. So hopefully
Carson
we'll get
Steele.
One.
I wanted them to keep Carson Steele because he looks like Isaiah Pacheco running the ball. I think the
he
best
does,
case scenario is they can hand
right
the ball
away.
To Carson Steele.
He fumbled right away, and keep in mind, Kareem Hunt did exactly the same thing when he came in, fumbled on his first carry. Steele kind of did a fumble, too, so in that game, we didn't hand him the ball anymore, if you recall. So,
well, and remember, and people think it's too much to put on Carson Steele's plate, and I get that. In 2022, when Isaiah Pacheco was a seventh-round rookie, you know how many games he played in?
Oh,
17.
Yeah.
Dude, you know how many he started? 11.
Yeah.
So it's not even unprecedented. Literally, the guy he's replacing did the exact same thing. And I do think, and this is why, like, Carson Steele's not a flash in the paint. Looks like Isaiah Pacheco when he runs the ball. That's why we all liked the idea of Carson Steele in the first place.
I don't disagree, but Andy gave you a glimpse into his psyche. You
right.
know,
no,
I have
it.
Confidence in it. I just haven't seen it. Steele ran the ball and fumbled right away. So in Andy's coach mind, he's going, oh, okay, let's kind of throttle back. But, you know, necessity is the mother of invention, along with Pacheco, why he had it so much. And we'll see. Hey, it's going to be good. And you know what? The defense is going to be better than last year's at the end of the year.
Yeah.
You watch.
Yeah.
We held Chase to one catch for 4 yards.
Yeah,
that's Island, baby.
McDuffie's a stud, but you know, two receivers. The tight end
just
defense
a linebacker.
Has been
we just need to get a little linebacker on the tight
and
end.
And the pass rush. And the pass rush is lacking a little bit too. There are some questions for sure. I don't know that they're gonna. I don't know that they're gonna allow. 7 points a second half or something ridiculous like they did. But I will say this, their defense has been better than I thought it would be through two games, for sure. It's better than I thought it would be out of the gates. And that gives me hope that maybe it can be. And if it can be, then they'll be just fine with all these injuries.
Hey, Earl,
everybody's got injuries.
It might be just like KU, because their defense has been better, but our quarterback play hasn't been as good.
Well, that's a lot. Yeah, that's a lot. Hey, by the way, Earl, before you go, I just want to tell you, even when I was in my latter years of medical school, I was having problems with bones that start with the letter F, and I just want to tell you thank you for straightening me out.
I just, in this day of no fact checkers, I just wanted to throw that out. You guys
beautiful.
We're on a slippery slope here. Thank you, Earl. 869-1240. Yeah, we're on several slippery slopes.
Oh, kind of.
Thanks for the call, Earl. We appreciate it.
There you go.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We can talk a little more Chiefs. We'll get you ready for the Royals tonight. Just a big game there. All kinds of stuff. We'll kind of go with a little hodgepodge here as we wrap up a Sports Daily. Your calls, keep them coming on the IHOP hotline. Appreciate the voice messages there, too, on the Odyssey app. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Plus Connected and on Facebook, YouTube, and X. You can leave comments there as well. We still got about 20 minutes to go here on this Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. Plenty of time to celebrate. Hopefully, Earl is in his best Hawaiian today at the office. Dr. Earl there. We'd appreciate anybody that wants to get on board with this newest fashion trend. We are fashionistas, Paul Savage and myself. We've been called that many times over the years. So join us for a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. We'll be right back. More Sports Daily after this. Welcome back to Sports Daily, everybody. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage here with you. Happy to be here with you. Thanks for the calls, the comments, the voice messages, all the different ways you can get in touch with the program, whether you're listening to us on KFH, whether you're listening to us on the Odyssey app, whether you're watching us on 12 News Plus Connected, on Facebook, on YouTube, and on X. We appreciate you in all of those ways. Paul, Ken left us that voice message on Bobby Witt Jr. achieving 30-30,
right,
which is fantastic, mm-hmm, which is incredible, which is historic, which is great. Shohei Ohtani is trying to get to 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing to think about, to me anyway, Shohei Ohtani isn't pitching this year and is still going to win an MVP. Even when he's not pitching, he's going to win an MVP.
Mm-hmm.
A chance to make history with 50-50. He's at 48-48. Excuse me. I think he's going to get there. What do you think?
I think he is, too. By the way, projections are 51 and 51. That's what people are saying. If you go by the averages, how many home runs he hits, how many bases he steals on a per-game average, I guess 51-51 is where he's projected. This is amazing. Geez, it just seems like yesterday we were watching two or three guys chase 40-40. And we were thinking, and that includes a guy like Jose Canseco and some other. I mean, it was just an amazing deal. 40-40 was amazing at the time that people were doing it. To go 50-50 is unbelievable. And what a talent he is. What an amazing talent this man is. I'm just so impressed. But I think he gets it. He's got to get it. I mean, you get to a
point. He's got
to
get it, doesn't he?
He's got to get it. Because
we've never seen 50-50.
Yeah.
What if he gets to 49-49? Like, how big of a letdown is that? Or 50-49 or 49-50. Like, how big of a letdown is that going
to
be?
I'm going to be let down.
One of the great seasons we've ever seen, and we'll feel like we got ripped off because he didn't hit the 50.
I know it. And we're I got a kick out of over the last week or two, you're seeing all these things with comparisons to home runs and all this kind of things. And then you see the name Mantle, and you see the name Maris, and you see the name Lou Gehrig, and you see the name Babe Ruth. And we're talking in the company of these kind of guys. That's the company that we're talking about with how great this is. We don't get visuals, and we don't get, Babe Ruth being brought up in conversations about performance very often because there are very few guys that can compete with a Babe Ruth. And it is so much fun. I love the history of baseball. Baseball is that one sport. There is no other sport, and I will admit this as long as the day is long, I will admit that baseball has done a beautiful job of incorporating its history along into stats and legend and all those things. Baseball is it. And I will be totally disappointed if 50-50 is not the new standard. And you want to know something? One of these days, somebody else is going to join the 50-50 club. It's not going to be exclusive just to one guy. Somebody's going to join it one of these days, which is really the beauty of baseball. By the way, let me just tell a quick story on Daryl Spencer. He had some records, and he was talking to Daryl Royal, had some records that were going to be broke, and he was a guy who says, I just soon see some of those records broke. I remember Dave Stallworth, a great basketball player who at one time was up there with, he says, you're going to break Cleo Littleton's record. And I remember Cleo Littleton on that conversation saying, you know, my records are made to be broke. These records are made to be broke. Babe Ruth's record was to be broke for home runs, and it was broke. And, you know, that's the beautiful part about baseball. It is a beautiful piece of work with regards to records, and it excites me to see these records. I'm really excited about.
So Shohei has left Colorado 6 times, Miami a couple of times, and then the Padres. There shouldn't be a lot of situations where he's pitched around, and it's hard to pitch around him in that lineup anyway, but especially in those Colorado games. 3 of those being at Coors Field. Like, I think his chances to get there are really, really good. The stolen bases are going to be hard because everybody on the planet knows he's running. Like, if he gets on first, he's going to run.
He's going
to
go.
He's trying to get there. So you lose that, you know, surprise element because these guys want this. Like, of course he wants that number. But just think about that for a second. Bobby Witt Jr. is having this insane year to get to 30-30. Shohei might get to 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
50-50.
No.
If a player had in an entire season 20 home runs and 20 stolen bases, you'd feel pretty good about that player.
Right.
How many more Shohei essentially has than Bobby Witt Jr., who is one of the top 3-4 players in the game?
Mm-hmm.
It is crazy how good Shohei Ohtani is. Mm-hmm. He's not pitching, by the way. He might be able to pitch in the postseason
By the way, you brought something up interesting. You don't give a chance to Ohtani to get to 50-50. And let's say we're in the last game. Do you pitch around him? Do you not want him to get that 50-50? I mean, I can see the point of doing it in certain situations.
Absolutely not.
No.
That's ridiculous.
That would be horrible. It could be done. It could be done.
I can promise you, you don't want to be the player that was too scared to pitch to him. If you're on the Rockies with nothing on the line in that season, you don't want to be that pitcher. If there's no strategy involved in it, if you're not trying to like pitch around him to win a game or do something like that, you don't want to be the Rockies pitcher that doesn't give him a chance if it comes down to that.
Right.
I can promise you that.
And boy, this is good for baseball. I mean, I'm going to be checking the box scores on the Dodgers. I don't necessarily check the box scores on the Dodgers, but I will be for the next few days. I'm going to be checking because I'm very interested. It's just a glorious thing to see. And like I say, he won't be the last to go 50-50. There will be someone else that's going to join him in this club, and that person's going to be a heck of a baseball player, won't they?
Yeah, it'll be fun. Okay, so the Royals tonight, just a quick reminder. Royals tonight, it's a 6:40. It's another one of these weird start times. Skubal is on the mound. Speaking of great players, he might win the Cy Young in the American League. That's what the Royals are up against. That magic number stuck at 8. They'd sure like to get it to 6 with 9 games to play. Leave it at 8 with 9 games to play. Getting a little bit dicier. Yeah, it's a big one, it's going to be a challenge because it's Marsh on the mound. It's, you know, your 5th of 5 against their ace, and they are hot, and they are feeling it right now. That game, again, 6:30 coverage, begins right here on KFH, and you can always listen to it on the Odyssey app. Just download that app, search for KFH at game time. You can also find this show, which you can podcast out, which we always appreciate the opportunity to do that as well. We got a big weekend coming up. Paul. I'm excited about the start of Big 12 football. We've got that. We've got Chiefs, Falcons in primetime. We've got the NFL trying to bounce back to some sanity. We've got the Royals in this playoff chase. It could end by this weekend. Mm-hmm. We could have a situation this weekend. You know, things bounce the right way, go their way. This thing could be wrapped up by the weekend. Mm-hmm. It'd be a lot of fun.
It would.
Can't wait for it. Man. Man, oh man. All right, we'll come back. We'll tell you what else is on the network today. Get you revved up for the rest of your day on this Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday edition of Sports Daily.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-through and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.